pleased to say that Michael has just walked in. Michael Arnell, veteran. You're not switched on yet, Michael. No one can hear you, I'm pleased to say. I'm in total control. Michael Arnell from the Apollo Theatre. Now you're switched on, Michael.
Right.
Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wilson.
Well,
how the devil are you?
You can call me sir.
Okay.
You're here to tell us all about the Apollo's next play, aren't you?
Yep.
So do you want to just fire away? What's the play?
Right. Well, I've been doing box office this morning, so I know what the play is.
Yeah.
And I designed the poster, so I know. No, seriously, here we go. The play is a Priestley. You know, John Boynton Priestley. And he wrote many plays, but the play we're doing is Dangerous Corner.
Right.
Now, a lot of you out there won't have heard of Dangerous Corner. Everybody's heard of his most famous Priestley play. Oh, I suppose When We Are Married, but also Inspector Calls. But no, we're doing, because Inspector Calls is on professional tour, and as you know, they buy the rights, so we can't do it.
Yeah.
So we're doing Dangerous Corner. It starts this coming Friday, so pencils handy in your little diaries, this Friday on the 12th, and then it goes through Friday and Saturday, and then from Tuesday to Saturday next week, finishing on the 20th.
Okay. What sort of play is it? How would you describe it to people?
Well, I would describe it like this.
This isn't The Archers, Michael.
No. No, I painted the set, well, with Paul Hewson. Paul Jennings designed the set. It's very much a 30s. You know, you all know Hercule Poirot.
Oh, yes, beautiful.
Well,
French accent,
yeah. So Paul's designed this set, which is very Hercule Poirot, very Art Deco 1930s. And it's set in the 30s, and it's summertime. And if you don't know this play, you really ought to go and see it, because it's an absolute classic. Priestley is an incredibly clever storyteller. There's always a wonderful twist. Think of the twist in Inspector Calls.
Mm.
And also in things like When We Are Married, you know, all these snobby people, then finding out they weren't actually married. But anyway, this one, when you see it, you'll be sitting in the auditorium, the lights will go down, and then the curtains will open to blackness. There's a blackout.
No.
You will hear a shot and a scream.
No, don't tell us.
And then the lights will go up, and you find four ladies sitting in their evening gowns listening to a radio play. It's 1930s. On stage, there's a beautiful 1930s radio.
Okay.
And they're listening to this radio play. And it's a dinner party. And the whole thing is set during this dinner party, or after the dinner party.
Okay.
And then comments are made.
Yeah.
And sorry, everything goes, well, I can't use that sort of expression on the radio. It goes bottoms up. Everything gets worse and worse. A lovely evening, social evening, turns into a complete nightmare.
Okay. Right.
Which ends with a shot, a scream, and a blackout, and then you're back at the beginning of the play.
No.
But I won't say any more
no,
than that.
No, don't. It sounds really intriguing.
It is a really good play.
He is a clever writer.
Oh, master storyteller.
He used to live on the Isle of Wight, didn't he?
Oh, he lived up at, I don't know if any of you out there remember, do you remember the plane crash in 50, how's your father? I don't know, about 58?
Where was that?
You know Chessel Pottery?
Yeah.
Up behind there.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Downs, and there's a cleft in the Downs. Well, a plane flying to the Channel Islands, or back, I don't know, whatever happened. Foggy night, a small passenger plane crashed into the chalk pit up there behind Chessel. It was just awful. I mean, 50 odd people killed, I think.
Oh, wow.
I was only a teenager at the time, but I was out staying at my mate's farm over Chessel Way. And his dad got the Land Rover, and although I didn't ferry any bodies or anything, but everybody John Boynton Priestley came out of his house, and a lot of the survivors were taken there to be looked after. Okay. They used it as sort of like a crash centre.
Okay. So where was his house, Michael? Was it right next door to
Brook
that,
Hill House?
Area?
Brook Do you know? You know, of course, when you go along Military Road,
you can see
it's a huge
big mansion.
It's looks like a haunted place.
Yeah, I know.
I think now it's posh apartments.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But no, he lived there.
Okay.
And the only reason he moved away, because he loved the island, but all his friends and family were on the mainland, and even in those days, getting to and from the island was a pain in the bum.
Yeah.
So they decided to move back to the mainland.
You're doing very well at toning down the language, Michael.
I do appreciate it. Sorry,
because we are live, you know.
We are live. I beg your pardon.
Did J.B. Priestley have any contact at all with the Apollo, or was that before the Apollo's time?
Oh, no. He was left by 59.
Ah, okay.
And the Apollo, the Apollo Theatre started as Newport Rep.
Yeah.
Which was, do you know anything about Newport Rep?
Yeah, because a long time ago, I interviewed you, not on radio, because we were doing a 40th anniversary publication.
And
I seem to remember you told me about Newport Rep.
Yes.
And how the Apollo grew from that.
From that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back, 45 years ago now?
Well, Newport Rep started in 1949 as a play reading group in the old grammar school at the top of Note Hill. And then they decided, rather than just read plays, they might as well put them on. And so they put on a play at the Queen's Hall. Do you know where Queen's Hall was?
No.
Right. You know Boots. Everybody knows Boots. Well, that used to be Harvey's, a very posh cake shop. Terribly posh. Especially after the war when sugar came off ration. Oh, God, the cakes in there were wonderful. And upstairs they had this very posh restaurant. Ladies in black dresses, little white pennies, little white lace
sounds
caps.
Very J.B. Priestley, doesn't it?
And the family also owned the Queen's Hall, which if you go through Boots, you know when you go through Boots, you go towards Lugley Street, up where the photographs are, that whole area of the store has recently had the ceiling lowered, but if you'd looked up there a year ago, you would have seen the balcony at the Lugley Street end of the old Queen's Hall.
Oh, okay.
The Queen's Hall was just that. It was a hall accessed from Lugley Street via the steps, making it very user-friendly, not. But it had a little stage. Well, it was really a shelf at the end of the hall.
Yeah.
But the Newport Rep used that.
Okay.
They did one play a year, then they did a couple, and then they branched out. Then, of course, the hall closed because Harvey sold up. And so they had to go on the road to various school halls. And then it was a chap from the mainland, the legendary John Hancock.
Yes.
Who said, you know, he was a businessman.
Yeah.
Because I have to... You're an Ovener, aren't you?
I am.
Ah, well, see, we islanders, we corkheads, we're not the sharpest knives in the block. The only people on the mainland...
Excuse me for interrupting, but this is sounding like Emmerdale Farm now.
I know, but it's true.
Yeah.
The only people on the island who've ever made any money, apart from people who lived here who had money in the first place, are Oveners. Yeah. You know, they owned all the hotels... They're the ones that... And he came over and said, look, you know, why are we hiring halls? Buy your own space.
Yeah.
So he ended up, you know, getting the wheels in motion to buy the Apollo Theatre.
And has the Apollo done quite a few Priestley works before? Because you've been involved right from the start.
Oh, yeah.
More or
well,
less from the start, haven't you? Yeah.
No, well, I
have you yourself appeared in any of his, Michael, Priestley?
Do you know... Cows I have.
Yeah.
I've done Cows, and I've done it with other companies, but I don't think I've ever done one at the Apollo.
Right.
I've done 90-odd plays at the Apollo. God.
Yeah.
And, no, when I joined, it was very much backstage. I certainly didn't want to go on stage, you know.
Yeah.
Poncing around on the stage, you must
I
be
know.
Joking.
Whoever
but
heard
then,
such a thing.
I know, but I expect it to happen to you. You just, because you are male, and there are always more men needed in a play than women, you sort of get forced into going on stage. But I have to say that I'm so glad I was bullied into going on stage because I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, and one of the things you do, we'll come back to Dangerous Corner in a minute, but because there'll be a few twists and turns in this conversation.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but one of the things you do, because of your love of the theatre and the stage,
absolutely,
you also share that joy with a lot of other people, don't you? Because you do a lot of workshops, you do a lot of coaching.
Yeah.
And you generally try to encourage people into the Apollo, don't you?
You see, I do a lot of talks to WIs. By the way, WIs out there, are you all listening, girls? Well, actually, anybody. What we do at the Apollo is I have been tasked, this is just jargon, I have been tasked as the outreach coordinator.
All right.
And what that means is what I offer is you can come into the theatre as a group. I've got the French group coming. I've had a photographic group, tons of WIs. They come along either about 10:30 in the morning or 2:30 in the afternoon, hour and a half. I bring you in, give you a cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit, all for free, and then we do a tour of the theatre to see how the magic is made. You know, the costume department, backstage, you know, where nobody goes except...
I know.
Yes,
hallowed ground.
Backstage. Yeah. And then I end it all with a little workshop showing you how we do what we are all about. If you think about it, the most welcome visitor to any Neolithic camp was the storyteller. Mm. And you've all were told stories when you were kids. Mum tucked you in and read you the story. Or Dad. And then later on you did the same thing for your children. We now do it for our grandchildren. But also as a school teacher, you know, children just love having the crayons and things put away at the end of the afternoon and then get out the book and carry on the next part of the story.
Yeah.
So being a storyteller is a privilege because we all need stories.
Yeah.
And that's all actors, for want of a better word, do. We just tell stories, not our stories.
Yeah.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me, Kevin, how people actually attribute to actors, you know, professional actors, the sort of the wit and the wisdom of the words that come out of their mouth.
I know.
You know, they're always being interviewed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they're so sage-like. No, they just learn words and spout them on a stage or in a film or something.
Yeah,
difficult.
I know.
But I love being a storyteller. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Do you still love it as much? You've been doing it so many years, haven't you? Do you still get the
buzz
from doing it?
I absolutely do because... Yeah. You know, you can never be too old to drink tea or other things that are interesting. And, and you know, and we, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter whether you're 9 or 90, listening to a story is wonderful.
Yeah, but the thing that I particularly respect about you, apart from the fact that you are a brilliant actor and a brilliant director, which is true, there's no flannel, it's a fact, but you don't just do that, do you? You get involved at every level in the theatre.
Well,
you paint the sets, you design posters...
Hold on, I'm coughing.
Yeah,
I've got a bit of a cold.
You do the full range of jobs, don't you, at the
theatre? Yeah.
And there aren't that many people who do that.
Well,
I don't do it.
No. Kevin, we are lucky enough, the Apollo Players, to own a theatre. Now, on the island, there are not that many storytelling venues. And, I mean, there used to be, for instance, some of you might remember the Passmore Theatre was attached to Upper Chine School. A beautiful space. It seated 300-odd there. I did summer shows there to packed houses.
Yeah.
Beautiful stage, tons of space, but that's closed. So many spaces have closed. But down at Trinity at Cowes, where I've worked lots, they bought an old, you know, hall and turned that into a theatre. The Apollo Players have bought an old church and turned that into a theatre. I know we've got Medina, we've got
Shanklin.
Oh, just over the river we've got Key Arts.
Yeah.
And we've got Shanklin. Now, I've worked in all those spaces. Believe me, kids out there, I think I've worked in every storytelling space on the island, including Cranmore Bus Shelter. But seriously,
yeah.
Totland Village Hall is wonderful. Mm. It's got a lovely ambience, plenty of room backstage. The stage is a nice size for the hall, but it's still a flat auditorium. You're still aware as a storyteller that the person, some of the people, are looking around the head of the person in front of them. Shanklin Theatre, I've done tons of stuff there, mainly big stuff like Gilbert and Sullivan. But it's not so easy to do a play there because you have to project.
Yeah.
You're aware of the fact that there are dead spots, and again, it's a flat auditorium, very high stage. At the Apollo, you've got, wherever you sit, you can see the floor of the stage. It's a very big stage for the space of the auditorium, and the acoustics are crisp. You don't have to worry about being mic'd up.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the best storytelling space. So I will do anything I can to maintain this as a theatre.
Yeah.
And if that means to say, okay, you know, we don't get paid anything. If we had to pay anybody, we couldn't operate. We are sort of running a business, except we don't have a wage bill. But loo roll has to be bought, lighting has to be paid for, electricity rates, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I will do, and we will do anything we can to maintain that particular building.
Yeah.
I'm not so much a member of the Apollo Players as somebody who is desperately interested or absolutely committed to keeping that theatre going.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I'd do anything.
That's fantastic.
I've been doing the weeds outside the theatre this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. So give us a final plug for Dangerous Corner, Michael.
Okay.
So it starts Friday night.
Dangerous Corner, Friday night, 7:30 curtain up.
Yeah.
You can book tickets online. Now, don't really ask me about this, because all I know is if you go to the apollo-theatre.org, that's our website.
Yeah.
It's advertised on all the posters.
Yeah.
And then on there you can go to booking.
Yeah.
And you can actually book online.
Yeah.
How it works, I don't know. But all our tickets are computerized. So the box office is also open every day from now on, from 11 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And you can buy tickets. They're not expensive.
Yeah.
The bar is open, of course, before and during the performance.
That's a sight to
and
see.
And the alcohol
as well.
Ain't dear, my lovers.
I know, it's a lovely spot.
Yeah.
And everybody who goes really loves the Apollo, don't they?
I think going to the theatre,
yeah.
I mean, we all love going to the cinema, but you're sitting in the dark, you just go in with the crowd, you come out with the crowd, there's no real interval.
No.
You don't socialise. Going to the theatre, It's a bit like, you know, going to Knighton.
Yeah.
If you go to the Pepper Pot Players, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because they have a draw and tea and everything. It's just brilliant. It's a lovely night out.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Just to remind you, it's Dangerous Corner, JB Priestley, opens on Friday. It's on Friday and Saturday this week, Tuesday to Saturday next week. And you can book online at apollo-theatre.org.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Michael.
You're very welcome.